Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That is the man called Foxy, John Fox, the head coach of your Chicago Bears. And interesting to hear him describe the way – can I tell you the reality of the meeting and what they had to say and how they came to the decision on Connor Barth, Brian? It's a very simple process.
Uh-huh.
It is, we can't roll that guy out there again. What are the players going to do if he misses another field goal? That's how you lose the locker room forever. That would be a point of no return. There is not a chance that you could roll that guy out after the season he's had, the struggles. You've brought in how many place kickers? We'll talk to Bigsy later. Every week they got somebody coming in and trying out. Every week. Now, is that sending a message to the guy, or are they scouring the street? There must be someone. There must be someone. Let's keep looking. And finally they get a guy who is an NFL kicker who had a problem, had an injury, and they deem that he's okay to kick, and they make the move. They really should have made the move last week, but the guy made three field goals in the game before, and you hope that maybe he turned a corner and he was going to come around. But when the opponent kicks a 52-yard field goal and your guy can't even put a 46-yard attempt on a trajectory, if he had hit a post, if something had happened where, the bad snap, the holder drop, this was everything went well, except he kicked the ball about 30 yards the wrong way. It was unbelievable. When you watched Prater's kick, he was playing the wind. He was battling Soldier Field. He put the ball one way and it came right back down.
It was
like a guy hitting a beautiful golf shot.
Yep.
This guy gets up and it's like literally his body was the wrong way.
Right. I mean, that I really thought there was a bad snap or hold when I saw where it went. I mean, that had to be the only excuse. And then everything was perfect, and it was perfect. He hit exactly where he tried to hit it.
And what did he say? He said he got under it or he topped it and it hit the ground. I mean, I don't know. What he said didn't make sense to me either.
Well, I seriously was done with him about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and I didn't know what the hesitancy then was. Was it money? Was it the only
It'll be interesting. We're going to have Dave Wanstead in here later in the program. And Dave, of course, one of the many jobs he's held in the NFL was as a special teams coordinator down in Tampa. And one of the guys that he worked with was Connor Barth, and he's fond of him. He likes the guy.
Sure.
And I'll be very curious to see what Dave thinks about, making a move like that. Because I think Brian, you said it, about Jimmy. Jimmy Johnson famously, here at Soldier Field, as the Cowboys were heading to a Super Bowl, they had that young team that was such a good team. It was actually the game that Mike Singletary retired in. They had a guy named Kerwin Richards, who was the backup running back, and he went out at the end of the game. They were way ahead in the game, and Kerwin Richards goes out and he fumbles. And Jimmy is furious about it because he has to have, if anything happens to Emmett, they're on their way to the Super Bowl. He's got to have someone he trusts. And he yells at the kid on the sideline. The kid goes back out and he fumbles a second time. Jimmy met the kid on the field. He walked out and he met the kid on the field, the Soldier Field turf. And he says to him, pack your stuff up. You're flying commercial. You're not going home on the charter. He cut him as he walked off the field at Soldier Field. He cut him because they were en route to a Super Bowl and he wasn't going to drag him down.
Right.
And that's the kind of the way you felt about Connor Barth. Well, it was almost like that was the moment. That was it. You got to go.
Well,
and when you looked at the sideline, oh, my God.
Well, see, that's the thing. Everyone said, to his credit, Mitch Trubisky didn't slump his shoulders, drop his head. The look on his face told you all you need to know.
All of them.
And one of the position coaches was right there. And, I know that at the end of the game they spit out their tobacco. It almost like he threw up his tobacco. And I don't even know. I thought there was a law in town where you're not supposed to chew tobacco at sporting events, you know, and dugouts and everything else. But this big chunk of tobacco comes out like this guy regurgitated it. I mean, it was priceless to see that shot. But everyone was done with him. When he spent the bye week, God bless him, he spent the bye week working with his dad, his pseudo coach, and he came back talking about confidence and hitting the ball better and all that. You know, when you start, you talk about golf, when you lose your confidence, when you know that, you know, you need to have everything rebuilt, you're in trouble.
Let me tell you something. That guy knew he was cut in the post game.
Sure he did.
That's why he talked about his career. That was the line that he made. Yeah. He knew it. He knew he was out the door.
Now, does he get another gig? I mean, he said one kick won't define him.
Again, there's a lot of guys bouncing around.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd rather have a gig than be looking for one, but there are jobs out there.
Yeah.
Somebody will give him a tryout at some point, but that could be the end of it because look what he did in Chicago. Let's try Jeff. Jeff is in Chicago. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, guys. I was going to talk about St. Menzel and Mayfield. So one similarity they have is that since they were probably 6-7 years old, they've been told how great they are. And so Menzel was a little bit of a knothead during college, it accelerated when he came into the pros. That's when the more of the alcohol, the drugs, the partying happened. Now, Mayfield might turn around and not do that. Jim Kelly was known to be a little bit of an arrogant guy in Miami, and you know, even into his first couple of years at Buffalo, but he turned out, you know, well at the end. So that's the problem.
You're saying a college football player is spoiled? A quarterback at Oklahoma is spoiled? Is that what your point is?
Yes. I think. I mean, they've been told all their life that they're great. I mean, do I know that for a fact? No, but I'm pretty sure. I mean, your confidence. Both those kids were overly confident, and they should be confident, but they also have to be a little humble of seeing how privileged they are, where they're at, and where they're going to be. And yeah. I don't think they know that.
Listen, I don't see this as a character flaw, Jeff.
No,
honestly, I think it's. And thanks for the phone call. I think it's really a kind of competitive edge almost. I like a guy.
Who gets in the people's heads.
I like a guy that wants to win and then wants to send you home broken.
Actually back it up.
I'm with you.
Well, here, and you know what, the Manziel stuff, it became apparent Manziel could literally go out and play a Saturday morning game hungover, and his talent or his athletic ability, his whatever he had, was good enough to beat a lot of hyphen teams or mid-level college teams. You can't do that in the NFL.
No, you can't.
And so not only kept his off-field stuff going, he accelerated when he got some real money.
He wasn't serious about his job.
No, exactly, because he thought he was that good.
Brian, there's tons of examples of quarterbacks throughout the years that have loved to party.
And there have been tons of arrogant quarterbacks, too.
And there's been tons of them. And guess what? If you can play, one cares.
That's right.
And if you know, the evaluation for this guy, and again, you voted for the Heisman. You got a different perspective on it. I don't know what the rules are and what you're looking for. I'm just telling you.
Hey, Johnny Manziel won the Heisman.
Evans won the Heisman for Johnny Manziel. Okay,
Let's be honest. But I'm telling you that tells you what most Heisman voters think about something like this, because he's not even.
Well, that's a good point.
That doesn't rise to Johnny Manziel level.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. What do you think? Would you actually not – if you had a Heisman vote, as Brian once did, would you not vote for this guy? Would you look at him and you say – I mean, spoiled athlete. What other kind are there, right? Aren't there – I mean, we're supposed to be humble now? You got to – oh, well, he doesn't have enough humility. Listen, the kid made some obscene gestures, and apparently in this day and age, that's nothing. But only the Heisman Trophy is what you can't get, because – you'll have to melt it down with him. Oh, my God, he's such a bad human. Wouldn't worry about it, but maybe you do. 312-644-6767. We've got some audio of LeVar Ball talking to Chris Cuomo yesterday. Call me Mo. That's what his friends call him. Seriously, he told him that at one point. It is the most ridiculous. We'll play this for you at some point here. soon. I got to tell you, this is just a lot of noise.
Two guys
and a lot
talking
of
past each other.
Unbelievable. Mully and Haley on the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Listen very slowly, carefully.
Yeah, I listened to that slowly and carefully, and I didn't understand the conversation at all. It was pointless, and by that I just mean there didn't seem to be a point. Very weird listening to that, and again, we'll play a little bit of that exchange. It was truly mind-boggling. I don't, LeVar Ball, do we need LeVar Ball? But why even justify him? Why, like, I don't understand why he demanded an apology, and then you get it from the kids, but the father didn't give it to you, so you get mad about it? Like, why even? I don't get it.
Well,
I don't understand upset about it.
But this really has, I mean, LeVar Ball, I mean, he's always on 11, turning up to 11. This one is turn the volume down. I don't know how long it lasts, but he
went on for a while. It was like a good half hour interview. No, but I'm talking about felt like the last 15 minutes, whatever.
Since the incident happened with the shoplifting,
I think
it's turned the volume down on dad huge way.
I think that the only reason anyone paid attention to the story is because it was his kid. And, you know, big baller brand and all that stuff.
And he's over there and filming his reality show as part of the UCLA traveling party.
And he tried to make the point that this is the only mistake that the kid has made in his life.
4.0 student.
And he's going to forgive it because, he's a 4.0 student and he's done everything the right way. And, you know, you shoplift once. And suddenly you're a shoplifter. There's like an old joke that applies here somehow.
I'm glad you went there.
But let's take a look. We can't put it off any longer now that we're talking about it. And we'll get to everyone's phone call. Don't worry. But let's take a brief listen to LeVar Ball being interviewed on the Don Lemon Show by Chris Cuomo, who was filling in for him
on CNN.
Why won't you say thank you to the president?
It doesn't make... Well, if somebody does something for you, then you say thank you.
Somebody did
now,
something for you.
That's your opinion
say
that
thank
he's
you.
Done for me? Okay. I would say thank you if he would have put him on his plane and took him home. Then I would have said, thank you, Mr. Trump, for taking my boys out of China and bringing them back to the U.S. There's a lot of room on that plane. I would have said thank you kindly for that. He didn't even know they was over there and like that. Okay, what was the reason for him going over there in the first place?
The president was in China to meet with the president of China and discuss trade matters, but he certainly was informed
and that's
about
before
the boys when he was in China, and that's why he got involved, he says.
Okay, he didn't get involved till he got to China?
I don't understand
so
your question.
So he wasn't going over there beforehand?
He didn't get involved until he got in China.
What are you trying to
it
say?
Wasn't like he was what in the U.S. and said, okay, there's three kids in China. I need to go over there and get them.
Okay.
That wasn't a thought process.
He says he spoke to the president of China and that was relayed to you,
you
and the boys, that you were told
so
that he helped.
So anybody who speaks to the president, I should thank anybody who speaks to the president?
No, but this is the president of the United States who spoke
anybody,
to the Chinese president. That's not just anybody. You know what kind of power he has? I don't get why you're hiding from
this.
Who's
not anybody?
I don't get why you're ducking this, to be honest with you.
Why hide from nothing?
I don't understand.
If I was ducking this, I wouldn't even be here talking to you.
Well,
you seem like I'm ducking, but I don't duck nobody.
You're talking around it. You're talking around it.
Because you don't understand it.
Why couldn't you just say thank you to the president?
Why
are you talking
around it?
Thank you.
Why are you talking around it?
I'm talking right at it.
How much intel do you have on the situation? Were you there?
I was not there.
I can't hear you. Okay, then. Unless you were there, then you can talk. Tell Donald Trump to have a great Thanksgiving, because Big Baller is...
Wow. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
I have to have my China.
At all.
So why was he over there? He didn't do anything until he got to China? First of all,
I don't think it happened. He just happened to be there, coincided with his trip.
To Asia.
To Asia.
It was like a 13-day trip to a number of countries.
As Chris Cuomo points out, that the Donald doesn't care for Chris Cuomo and has said things about him. And yet he's kind of like, well, the president talked to the president of the other country. You know, the kids, the minimum sentence is like 3 years. It might not seem like a big deal to have shoplift Louis Vuitton glasses to the big baller brand, but it, in a foreign country.
It's a big deal.
It's a huge deal.
And also,
it was an international incident.
Of course it was. And he was, you know, it would have been different if he left the White House and got on Air Force One and flew to China to spring the kids.
And collected the kids and then went back.
I mean,
But the president of the United States should not be saying, I should have left him in jail.
Well, of course he shouldn't.
I'm just saying.
It's beneath the office.
It's beneath the office.
I mean, God bless him that he talked to the president of China.
Yes, that's a good thing to do.
And influenced him, whatever. You know,
but it was weird that he needed a thank you. But it was just weird.
LeVar Ball really thinks that the president of the United States, of course he was informed.
And he won't thank him.
Of course he was informed.
Which is weird, too.
He was either informed on this. I mean,
he said he only talks to people who talk to him, and he doesn't know what the guy
but
did.
But you think President Trump is following, like he gets the UCLA newsletter or gets
I think the president is trying to, you know, expand his base a little bit, and he wanted those kids to thank him.
No, I get that. I get that, but
you shouldn't be, when you're asking for thanks, that you're not, it's not a sincere.
No, but here's the hubris of LeVar Ball, that he thinks the president of the United States should be monitoring all things, not only UCLA Bruins, but more the Ball family.
Hey,
like, he should be up to date.
This guy's looking at life through a straw.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just his little...
Delusional.
Totally delusional.
I mean, of course, an aide to the president or someone from UCLA reached out, or some California politician reached out.
How long did it take you to figure out he's delusional?
Well, I mean, that one, that's crystal clear.
Would you respond to somebody that was delusional?
And by the way, whatever your politics are, you don't say Mr. Trump, it's President Trump.
There you go. Fair enough.
He's the president of the United States.
Yes, he is.
Even a former president, you refer to him and address him as president.
Mr. President.
Mr. President, that's right. Or President or Mr. President.
I don't stand by anything.
But, I mean, to really think that Mr. President needs to be, you know, to be like...
Bizarre.
Outraged that had to be told, like, oh, he didn't know someone had to tell him, so I have to thank whoever told him. I mean, you're lucky. I mean, good Lord.
I can't believe we even got into it. It is just absolutely crazy.
I love the part where Chris Cuomo wasn't there.
Yeah.
Were you
Excuse
there?
Me?
Yeah. No, it wasn't there. What?
See, but LeVar, he was there because he was filming his reality TV show. As part of living off the kids.
There's a lot of room on that plane.
Yeah, you see, now it's not only good enough that he influenced or do whatever he did to help get them back to the United States, he should have given them a ride on Air Force One. And, I mean,
well,
he should have brought that helicopter like he was at the Iowa State Fair.
Matter of fact,
just taking some kids up in it. There's a couple of basketball players.
How about this? President Trump went on to other countries. He should have just put him on Air Force One, come right back, and not stopped in Washington, D.C., go right to L.A. Drop the kids off.
He went too far to hate President Trump. Like, some people go way too deep. Like, you're making it way too complicated. Just thank the guy.
That's all.
Make it
just
a good
say
moment.
Thank you.
He does deserve a thank you. He took care of
but
stuff.
But it was like he was digging in.
Yeah, he was digging in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, at the end of the interview, he said he was going to send a lot of big baller brand stuff to Chris Cuomo, who said that he would donate it to charity.
Yeah, Cuomo's like, I'll get rid of this stuff as soon as I can.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Why won't you say thank you to the president?
It doesn't make... Well, if somebody does something for you, then you say thank you.
Somebody did
now,
something for you.
That's your opinion
say
that
thank
he's
you.
Done for me? Okay. I would say thank you if he would have put him on his plane and took him home. Then I would have said, thank you, Mr. Trump, for taking my boys out of China and bringing them back to the U.S. There's a lot of room on that plane. I would have said thank you kindly for that.
I still don't get the point. But it was a riveting television interview, especially when they were kind of...
Hey, I'm taking you home, but we have to stop in the Philippines first. I've got 3 days there.
There's a lot of room on that plane.
So, you want me to... I'll just cancel the trip. The balance of the trip.
During the interview, he said that he should have left him in jail. They were in a hotel because, like, he got him into a hotel and he was working a lot of angles. And in his mind, he's the guy that got everybody off. That's basically... what is not stated but left unsaid.
I said it yesterday.
And we moved Bigsy back a little bit because so many people want to talk about it.
President
so we should
Trump
get everyone's opinion.
President Trump and LeVar Ball share a lot of the same personality quirks or qualities or however you want to phrase it. They're both very bombastic and they both... They're the biggest fans of themselves.
You know what? I don't know who you're insulting by saying that. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Wesley. He's on the road. Good morning, Wesley.
Morning.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was going to comment on the LeBar ball.
You're on the air.
I think he's just ignorant and ungrateful. If he thinks he was working some kind of angle, he's very ignorant of international laws and everything. Those boys are in deep trouble over there.
We're in trouble.
Their prison system is not the way other countries is. He was in deep trouble. They were in deep trouble.
Yeah.
And the least he could be is a little contrite, a little humble, and saying, you know, my boy's messed up. He never addressed that.
Well, he did. He said that he was going to give his son a pass because he'd been a really good kid and he made one mistake, and you don't judge a man on one mistake. That's what he said.
Yeah.
I hear you, Wesley, but that he did actually address the fact he wanted to talk about the fact that that his son was apologetic for shoplifting and had indeed shoplifted, and he talked about being from South Central and the stuff that you see, and you know his kid didn't do anything.
Right.
He saw real young men go to jail and for various crimes they committed, and I mean he talked around it a little bit, but yeah, I don't think that's something he's interested in discussing. Let's try Michael. He's in Barrington. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, guys. I enjoy your 5 at 5 every morning. It's
Thank
really
you.
Good stuff. I was calling in regard to the kicker situation with the Bears, and I thought it was great yesterday how you guys said that Robbie wasn't that great at the end there because there's a tendency to compare to Robbie.
Right.
I know he wanted a lot of money, but I just kind of wonder in this game, how many points aren't some of the leading scorers in team's history the kicker?
Yes.
I don't know how you cheap out on a guy like that where I think it was Brian had mentioned – you know, maybe Robbie wanted $3 million, and this guy...
No, he was making it. He had the contract already, so they just got rid of the contract.
He was making 3.6. That was the cap hit the year that they cut him.
Yeah. And he currently is the second...
With such a premium on quarterbacks and other guys, playmakers and guys who put points on the board, is the league in general just look at a kicker and as a necessity? Or, I mean, isn't that a real important position?
Well, Michael, no matter how you slice it, this is a check mark on Ryan Pace's resume that goes into the negative side. I mean, it did not. I assume he made the decision. I don't think Ted Phillips came into the office and said, "Hey, Ryan, we need to save some money. Why don't you look at Robbie Gould?" But however it was, Ryan Pace was the guy who said we could go on the cheap, and that's what they did. And it hasn't turned out well. And meanwhile, you know, a couple stops later, Robbie Gould is now, according to the value chart, the second best kicker for the money spent. You know, did they even go to him and try to rework the contract? I don't. Maybe Robbie, had to feed his kids and didn't want anything to do with it and felt he'd been doing it long enough and here for long enough enough.
Robbie Gould's one of the great stories.
Sure.
Scouting stories out there. They needed a kicker. They had a kickoff at Hallis Hall. They brought in a bunch of guys and they brought in Robbie Gould. I think it was Bobby DePaul was the pro personnel director in those days, and he brought in Robbie Gould because he had been cut by the Patriots, and he got deep into Patriots camp, and they had Adam Vinatieri there, and so there was there was a suspicion that the Patriots had a guy, they knew what they were doing, so that was really the loan criteria. He had been a kicker at Penn State, but it was a question of his steps or something, and they changed it in New England, and they brought him in, and he was by far the best guy and won this kickoff, and then it wasn't a kickoff, it was like a kick competition, and he was the winner, and then he became the most accurate kicker in Bears history and wound up in a Pro Bowl.
Yeah, at the time he was working for a construction company, right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah,
so it was a great story, and he was a great Bear, and he did a great job saying goodbye the right way and thanked everybody, and he was a good guy. But being honest about it, he for the amount of money he was making, he wasn't performing up to that paycheck. Let's say,
right,
for a kicker, you can get cheaper and as good. And it's, we can rewrite history about it all you want. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about this stuff, about, Ryan Pace and some of the decisions and some of the ways that he's gone about it. And, again, it's forward in your mind because you're going to see Alshon Jeffrey this weekend playing on a 1-year deal, which he just wanted to get the hell out of Chicago. And he's with Philadelphia, and he's having a hell of a year. He's really important to their offense and what they're doing.
Yeah, and you, if you, as you pointed out many times, you didn't replace Alshon Jeffrey. It's easy to let a guy go because he's a bad guy. You don't want him around anymore.
Didn't want to be here, and you had to pay him franchise money.
And so there's two ways. Either you don't really replace the quality of the guy, or you do replace a guy that you think is on the downside and Robbie Gould, and you bring in a guy who's not nearly as good, and you have to live with the responsibility of how that turned out. And that's squarely on the front office. They made a calculation, and here they are making another move because their calculation was incorrect.
Let's try John. John's in Munster, Indiana. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me. Love the show. Just want to make a comment regarding LeVar Ball and this kid. And I think it's really ridiculous that these kids actually have to steal sunglasses.
Well, they didn't have to. They didn't need to. They saw something they wanted, and I mean, I'm with you.
Don't they have enough money to do that? And two,
he takes it kind of lightly.
What if someone sold any sort of products that LeVar Ball was producing? I mean, he better make some sunglasses now with his brand, so that someone doesn't just steal it.
Maybe he was getting the sunglasses so he could take them back and see what they're and slap the Big Baller brand on there and see, hey, we can knock off Louis Vuitton's. We'll call them Big Baller sunglasses.
That's right.
That's very funny.
Sell them in Times Square.
Hey, that's very funny.
See my Rolodex watch?
But I don't know the financial situation of all the kids involved. I think we look at LeVar Ball because he has been so in the forefront and so in the media and yelling about everything. And, you know, his son Lonzo, the Bulls play them tonight. So it's interesting to think of that. And as you said, he's probably going to be out there. You know, do they have a ton of money? The kid made a lot of money. Is that money trickling down? I mean, clearly he's got a rich relative. His brother's very wealthy. I'm sure he has enough money to.
Poor kids, middle class kids, rich kids.
You shouldn't steal.
Everyone's shoplifted. Yeah. Okay. Look, I shoplifted as a kid. I think we shoplifted cigarettes from Jules because we wanted to try cigarettes. And, you know, with like one day of that, we realized this wasn't very good. boy, who likes doing this? But look, everyone, you know, you go down there and steal a Playboy down at the Jewels back in the day. Everyone shoplifted
at some Playboy at the Jewels.
I didn't know you had such a dark, twisted history, Brian.
It's called childhood. But now, again, these kids are 18, 19. I'm talking about 12, 13, whatever it was at the time. He's not living hand to mouth, all right?
No, he's not.
He might not have a bank account or a trust fund.
Yeah.
The meals are provided. They're in a nice hotel because they're representing UCLA and the United States of America. And by the way, the chancellor of UCLA was on the trip as well. It wasn't just a basketball trip.
Why are you taking that trip?
Because everyone wants to get a foothold in China. Duke has done, and they want satellite campuses or the recruiting. You know, think about this. They want to be the first there to get a foothold in recruiting.
Away.
I mean, also a bunch of universities, either for campuses, you know, whatever part of the university they think can thrive in that country. But certainly, if they believe there's basketball talent to be had there, a bunch of the blue chip basketball programs are interested in making that trip because it can only help them unless something like this happens.
You know, it's very interesting. I went to a marketing seminar here in Chicago, and it was driven by the Manchester United marketing guy, which is the only reason I went. And it was fascinating because United made their first trip to China in the 1960s. And so they list, like, they have like 30 million more fans than anyone else because they're all registered out of China.
Mm-hmm.
And they still do tours to Asia and still do a lot of stuff. They sell so many jerseys there, it's unbelievable. And other teams are going there and doing all this stuff, but they don't have the stronghold that they have from dating back to the 60s when they first started going there. And it is, you're absolutely right. That is a market where everybody's trying to get in.
Pro sports, anything. I mean, if you're an industry or whatever, you're interested in getting your brand and your name out there.
Let's squeeze in Louie. He's in Iowa. Good morning, Louie.
Hey, LeVar Trump is the same person. It's all one person. He's just using the playbook right out from the president. He's doing exactly what the president did, except he's from South Central. And, I don't really like LeVar Ball, but in this case, he's doing exactly what the president did. The president doesn't even acknowledge the last president, who happens to be of the same race, and you cannot separate race from this conversation. And even though I don't care for LeVar Ball, it's LeVar Trump is the same person. They're exactly the same person. Thank you.
Thank you, Louie. Wow.
Ball control.
I love by the end of that interview, he was breaking out of the...
There is a racial aspect to this. It is, you know, the president, one of the reasons he wants to be thanked is because he's trying to extend from his base out, you know, to other people and do something nice for some basketball players and some, you know, prominent African-American company. I don't know.
Well, see, I did get a kick out of this, that President Trump, before they even had the press conference, tweeted out, you know, I'll bet you they don't even thank President Trump for this. Didn't even let it play out.
No.
Didn't even let him.
Well, what he did was he said, you better thank me for it.
I know, but I mean, you didn't even let them do it voluntarily.
No. He wanted it done.
Right.
And the kids did it.
They don't want to get a nasty tweet from Donald Trump.
You know, enough of those too, by the way. Let's stop with nasty everything. The name calling and the mean is just, I just don't want to.
He's fired.
See any more of them.
Personally. He's fired.
And I'm worried that with the holiday coming up, you know, he's going to be left to his own device. And by that, I mean his tweet machine.
Oh, boy.
It could be ugly. 312-644-6767. Civility. Civility always. Mully and Haley on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.